first time you recall playing for a group?
Oh, when I was two.
These
and
adults
three.
Had to look at this child, 3 years old. You know, it might have been easier to learn a guitar.
No.
But here you've got this moving part and holding it to your chin.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of cute.
And not able to reach down to the fingerboard. No, I remember playing for my folks. You know, they'd have their musician friends over. That was the thing. They'd always have me play.
Sure.
Bring the little audience in here, look at Janet, what she's doing.
Yep.
And that was kind of fun. That was my reward.
And you knew you were doing something good.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a reaction
early
on.
That made you feel good.
My first TV was age 5. Ted Mack Amateur Hour.
Ted Mack's Amateur Hour, really?
I played Hungarian Dance number 5. Da da dum dee dee dee.
And for those who will not know what Ted Mack was.
Well, it dates me for sure.
Ted Mack's Amateur Hour was like American Idol.
Yeah. Or Johnny Carson or anything like that. We were in New York City, you know, so.
Oh, you were living there.
Yeah, Juilliard is in New York City. Yeah, so that's where we were.
They got you on Ted Mack's Amateur. And what do you remember from that?
Well, I remember they had a big grand piano. It was very sterile environment. I had to do a little audition, and that's what was sterile. And I remember being kind of scared. My mom talked to me quite a bit before we did that. But, you know, I could play it, so I did it. And then we did the TV. It was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Did you get a lot of attention? I mean, this went nationwide, Ted Mack's Amateur.
Yeah, you know, that part I don't remember that much because it was a long time ago. But it was my first TV appearance.
Right. And a lot of those people on Ted Mack's, they went on to greater things.
Yeah, well,
were
I was only four.
Your maternal grandfather, again, he was quite a musician. A little
he
bit about
was.
Him.
Yeah.
Tell us about him.
Well, he was a champion fiddle player, and he knew all those old-time fiddle tunes. When the folks were divorced, that time they were in Idaho. Grandmother and granddaddy moved from Colorado, where they had no control over the water. You know, they were wheat farmers, and they'd gone through the Dust Bowl. So they moved to Idaho. Granddaddy wanted irrigation, and they had 40 acres of fruit trees, apples and prunes, and it's still in the family. So we moved from New York City to Fruitland, Idaho, to be with my grandparents. Granddaddy was so much fun. They loved each other so much, my grandmother and granddaddy. They were the most beautiful couple. I don't remember ever an argument with my grandmother and granddaddy. They were just happy people. They would take care of the land, the trees, whatever. Granddaddy had a shop. He made high chairs and chairs and rocking chairs. You know, he was very creative. He was an inventor, really. Could go on and on about some of those things. But then in the evening, they would come in and have dinner, and Grandma was a great cook. They had a big, oh, bigger than this room. This is a fairly large kitchen, but they had a big kitchen, linoleum floor, and the piano, the grand piano, was right on the other side of the doorway in the living room. So we played music. Granddaddy in that big kitchen, you know, he sang, he wrote songs. I've got a lot of his songs I need to get published eventually. Folk tunes, he was kind of a Woody Guthrie type.
And what was his name?
Frank Neville Sprague. Frank N. Sprague. Frank Sprague. He taught me all those old-timey fiddle tunes and the dances. I learned the schottische and the waltz and the polka. We had so much fun. It was just so much fun. And then during the day, of course, I was playing all my classical and learning all the classical. I would play early on Seitz Pupils Concerto or a movement of the Mozart and get polite response, you know, from my audience. Then I'd play one of Granddaddy's fiddle tunes for an encore. Just brought the house down. I think it was the contrast. So I still use that in reverse. And people are amazed. You know, you're playing all this country music, and then you play a little Flight of the Bumblebee or Chardash or something like that. They're like, wow.
Wow. Right.
It's that surprise that you can do both. I learned that early on.
Yeah.
Still using that today.
How old were you when your parents divorced?
7 or almost 7. I was second grade when I came to Fruitland. I'd had everything in New York City, advanced classes or whatever. So they put me up a grade. They put me up a grade, and that's why everybody thinks I'm a year older. That's why Wikipedia screwed up.
Okay. All right.
Because I skipped a year, and I was so grateful for that. I had an extra year of life.
Even though your parents were divorced, did your father maintain an interest in you over the years?
He came out and kidnapped me, took me back to New York. Yeah, that was pretty traumatic.
How old were you then?
Well, that was probably within the first year when we moved out there. Well, he came to the school. He did not come to the house. He came to the school. It was my dad. I said, "Oh, hi, Dad. My gosh." I didn't really understand. There was not a lot of, you know, my mom never dissed my dad. She never spoke ill of him. She wanted me to know I came from good roots.
Yeah.
She would always talk about how smart the family was and granddaddy is president of these colleges, etc. But I knew because I'd experienced their arguments. It was mostly over me when we were in New York. If I wasn't just right, he'd spank me. And if I cried too much, he'd stick me in the closet till I stopped crying. Things like that, that mother, it made her really worried.
Yeah.
Anyway, very idyllic when we came back to Idaho. But when I saw my dad, I just thought, oh, my dad's here. He said, well, hop in the car. And I thought we were going to see mom. And then I realized this isn't the road. We were going and driving. And I said, where are we going? And he said, we're going to Boise and we're going to fly back to New York. And, oh, I was shocked. I was shocked. I said, we're not going to go see mom and grandmother and granddaddy. No, we're going to go to New York. So he took me to New York. And at that time, he was teaching in Irvington, New York, teaching music. Took me to Irvington, New York, and put me in school there, and the battle began. Because, of course, my mother didn't like that. My grandparents didn't like that. So they came back to New York. Finally, I don't know how long I was there, but I remember crying every night. I miss my mom, and I remember I'd cry myself to sleep saying the Lord's Prayer. I think that's where a lot of my faith came to because it saved me. I was so distraught. So one day, mom came to my school and took me out of school. She had a lawyer and granddaddy was there, and we went to White Plains to this restaurant, Tappan Zee. I guess the teacher probably called my dad. So we're talking, you know, the lawyer and my granddad, my mom and me at this nice restaurant. Granddaddy had said, if Jake comes, you're just going to have to disappear. So he did come. And granddaddy was a fan of the old wrestling. They had wrestling on TV and it was a big deal back then. Anyway, my vision in my memory was granddaddy, he went to the front and got my dad in a headlock. And mother took me down the hill. There was a beautiful view down the hill. There was a house down there. That's where we went. We knocked on the door and that's where we went. The lawyer said, I'll handle your dad. So mom and I just disappeared and granddaddy held my dad until the lawyer and things settled down a bit. It was a legal thing from then. And mom had custody. But dad didn't know that the divorce had actually, I don't know that it had gone through, but it was in place legally when he took me back to New York. So it was actually legally a kidnapping. So mom got custody of me. And we saw my dad in the summers, 3 or 4 years. And I was about 12, I guess, when he got married. And that changed things a little bit. You know, he wasn't quite so needy to have us around. So we didn't have a lot of contact through quite a few years. But when I got married and had my first child, I wanted to see him and, you know, renew our closeness. He was a collector of fine violins. You know, there was a lot of music there. And yeah, we were okay. He never forgave my mom, but he was okay with me.
How long did he live?
It was about 4 years ago when we lost my dad. I think he was about 89, something like that. I'm not positive about that.
So he continued with a musical career himself?
Yeah, he actually was teaching in the Los Angeles area. And he was in several orchestras, I think, but he was primarily a teacher. He has some really good method books. Gave me all those. Yeah, he was quite a guy. Very handsome, very athletic, played tennis a lot. He loved the Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers originally, and then they were Los Angeles based. So he said, yeah, my team followed me. And he loved the water, you know, so yeah. From New York to LA, bought a home in Malibu, and he did very, very well.